And is the study of theology is an effort to make a definitive statement about God and His implications in our life, and His accurate, His coherent, revelant ways to us, based on His self-revelation to us. And I'll just say all that to help us. Because doctrine then equips us to fulfill the primary purposes that God has for us, and as Kevin has said, meaningful relationships. It's just not about so much about knowing about God. It's actually about knowing God and who He is and the person of Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit. So we looked at, first of all, we looked at the goodness of God. And we looked at that God is originally good, He is infinitely good, He's immutably good, and He is perfectly good. I know I said it in a different order, it's okay. And then the second thing we looked at the faithfulness of God and how faithful God is. And even when we're not faithful, He's faithful. Man, that is amazing. Even when we mess up, He's not beating us down. He's not sitting going, oh, what a sad lot of people you are. He's just, that's okay, my children. Let's carry on now. Let's do this right. And He's faithful in His character and His name and all the nice things I've written up there for you. And then last week we just looked at our God, our guardian. And we remember we read from Psalm 112 and we looked up the word, and the word, the Hebrew word was Shema. He shamas us, which means He encircles us and protects us, like a good shepherd. And I've written a whole bunch of stuff up there that you've all read by now. And so this morning, I want to talk about our God is greater. And He's good and He's faithful and He's our guardian. He's the great shepherd of us. But He is greater. And He is greater or bigger than you can imagine while you're just sitting there right now. He is great, and we're going to have a look at a couple of things, but let's just do diligence and go to the Word, and Psalm 139, and here is David writing out to the God, and and the whole thing is, this morning is to, our God is greater, God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent, and He is omniscient. He is all in all. There is no greater God. And I think I said it last week. Our God is the mighty warrior who has never ever lost a battle. Do you want to follow that captain? Do you want to be under that general's command? How many battles you had? Millions. How many have you ever lost? None. Yeah, I'm going to be on your side. That's the side we want to be on. Let's go. O Lord, this is David, You have searched me and known me. Isn't it amazing? Just let these words seep into you as we read through them. Here we have this all-encompassing, all-great God, all-powerful, almighty, but now it becomes really personal. And you can put your own name in there. O Lord, You have searched Mark, and You know Mark. He goes from an all-encompassing to a very intimate knowledge about us. He says, You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Now we have to understand that doesn't mean God's far from us. What He's talking about when He says those thoughts, they are outside in His realm, outside time and space. We live in time and space. We live in a cyclic world where we know when it's going to be fall. Yeah, no, most of you don't like that idea. Yeah, I know. Some of you are going, yes, can't wait for fall to get here. Others are going, please don't let summer depart. Anyway, we live in that kind of world. We know winter, don't say that word, and the white fluffy stuff, not allowed to talk about that. And we know when it's going to rain and all that and the weather patterns. We live in a cyclic world. We know. We rise up in the morning, we're going to go to bed at night because we're tired and we're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. But God lives, and I'm just jumping right ahead in my notes here, God lives in a linear world. There is no beginning, there is no end. He is forevermore. And He knows us from that respect, not, God is watching us from a distance. No, He's not. He's right here today. He's sitting next to you. Louise has left. When she was little, Bridget was in the car with her, and I'm saying quietly, telling you quietly so Louise can't help me, let me hear you tell you this. And we were talking, Bridget was talking about God being in the car with her, and Louise, she was little, and she had no front teeth, and she was like, "Mommy, I can't see him, where is he?" Isn't that cute? Well, I thought so. Don't go and say anything to her now, I'll get into trouble. Where were you? You discern my thoughts from my soul. You search out my path and my lying down. You, God, are acquainted with all my ways. You know everything about me. You created me. And it goes on, He created us in our mother's wombs. He knew the whole thing. He planned our life for us. He put everything in place for us. And then He goes on and He says, even before a word is on my... He knows I'm going to say tongue. Even before word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you have it all together. You shema me, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. A gentle gesture of assurance. Don't worry, my son. Don't worry, my daughter. I got this. I'm with you. He lays His hand upon us. And then David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Try and wrap your head around how good God is, how faithful God is, how He is our guardian, how great He is. And some, it's just too high for me to attain, Lord. I'm just going to trust and live in faith that You are who You say You are. Where shall I go from Your Spirit, or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall follow. Remember the right hand, the hand of fellowship, the hand of comfort. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with You. That's our amazing, great God. That's who He is. That's where we stand in the perfectness of His love. And so this morning, when we look at our God is greater, I want to look at a couple of things that help us to understand. Number one, God is greater than my theology. God is greater than your theology. My understanding of the theology, of the study of God, theos, and it comes in two words, God, and the second word is logos, theos, and the study of God and the Word. The sovereignty of God, the authority of God, of the Scripture, the justification by grace through faith. I mean, we say that, but do we get that? Do we understand what that actually means? Well, sort of, I think, maybe, possibly. The priesthood of all believers. This morning Ken said, well, let's be the priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter 2:9, I think it is. We are a royal priest. We're not just a priesthood. We are a royal priesthood, holy before God. And I know, who's holy? There we go. Some of you got it. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm not so. No, you are. You have the imputed righteousness of God, the holiness of God upon your lives because you have submitted and given yourselves to Him. Yep. Woo! Yeah. He is the supreme authority throughout the universe. There is none before Him. He is greater than our theology. Our knowledge of God and God's purpose comes from a full Bible theology, as we like to say. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about, I know we live in a New Testament dispensation, we live in a New Covenant dispensation, but we cannot do away with Old Testament. And so therefore, we have a revelation of God on a Genesis to Revelation Bible theology, all in all. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. If you think, well, it's just all about grace, and you don't look at the Old Testament and understand the Old Testament, you will never understand grace. Because it's hidden in the Old Testament to be revealed in the New. It's a foreshadow of the things to come, where we're living now, in gloriousness. We also have the gift of the Holy Spirit living in us and guiding us and teaching us. Too often, Our theology comes through fallible man. Well, if the pastor says it, then it must be right. We'd like to think so. Well, I'm right. So I'm joking. Come on, stay with me. We are products of what we learn. We are products of what we have been taught. If you want to be a professional, a doctor, a lawyer, a civil engineer, you've got to go and learn and study to be that. If you want to be a good disciple, good, we need to learn and study theology. We need to understand who God is. What His Word says. Because otherwise, then we're going to fight with the idea of God told me. And we have to go to the book. Word God, faithful to His name, faithful to His nature, faithful to Himself, faithful to His character, tell us to do that stuff. Show me where it is in the Bible. And, just God told me. And then, really, I'm not the kind of person who's going to argue with you when you say God told me. But I'm going to tell you that's not God's nature. That's not His character. And but God said. And it's good to listen for God. It's good to practice hearing from God. It's like, Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, don't do this. Johnny, don't do the other. We have to practice being obedient to God. Most of people have never read the Christians have never read the Bible cover to cover. And the truth is, even when you have, you can't remember what's in it because some of you don't even remember what I preached on last week. What did what are your 4 points from last week, Mark? I don't know. I'm moving on. Knowing about God needs to be replaced by the authentic knowing God. How do we know God? Because He says, I am yours and you are mine. That's when we get to start understanding. If I am His, then I better understand. If He's the head of my house, the head of my family, I better get to learn to listen to what my dad is going to tell me and how we want. You know, the Pharisees were sort of experts in this thing. They knew the first five books of the law. They called it the Torah. They knew that back to front. They quoted that. They went to Hebrew school and they learned how to quote that. But they, when the living Word came amongst them, they did not recognize Him. They didn't know who He was. They didn't have a higher view of who God was. We need to have faith that allows us to be amazed, surprised, and sometimes disappointed. Because we have our theology. I just told you, God said. And then like everybody's going, yeah, I'm not so sure God would say that. Then we have to, let me go and just question that. Because not every voice you hear is God's voice. You know that, don't you? Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And the NIV says there is no limit to His understanding. Are you trying to feather that one out? Job 13, I love Job. We all know the story of Job and how he lost everything and he ended up in boils and sores and his family was gone and his daughters were gone, and his cattle was gone, the wealth was gone. Even his friends, even his wife said, just curse God and die. And I love Job. Though He slay me, yet will I hope in Him. Wow. That's faith. That's some serious. God is greater than my theology. Number two, God is greater than my timing. I know, if you're a golfer, timing is everything. There's no bad swing, it's your timing was off. I tried that game, I played it for many years. Timing is everything. And the problem is we live in an instant control, click of the button society. Hello? We even have electronically controlled devices and timing products at home that we can take our iPhones and we can set the temperature of our homes and we can set the PVR for the TV and we can... Come on. All the guys, put up your thumbs like this. All the men. Come on. Put up your thumb. Do me a favor. Just work with me. There we go. Look how developed those thumbs are, eh? The ladies, put yours up. Put them up. Come on. Yeah, they're pretty undeveloped, eh? Why? The boys. Guilty. Come on, work with me. We know we can have household appliances that do the society and the securities, but we need to understand in 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, figure this theology out. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Man, our cyclic vision can't expand that. 1,000 days is one day, 1,000 is like, 1 second is like 100 seconds. No, it's not. 100 seconds is 100 seconds. Or 60 seconds is a minute. God's saying, 1 second, 60 seconds, what's it to you? What's it to me? I'm out of that. I'm out of that. I'm in, out of space and time. God is greater than my theology, is greater than my timing. He is, he was, he is, and he is to come. We're just here for X plus that many years, and then we're done. I don't speak like that, Mark. I'm enjoying my life. Reality. We love to live this way. In Ecclesiastic chapter 3, King Solomon, he finds out, he goes, and you can read it, we just don't have time, and he goes through it, and he comes up, and he looks at the whole design, and he concludes that there is a time and a season for everything. And then later on, he finds out God has set it in place for man to live in a certain time. But he, God, lives in eternity. And when we have the promise of God to believe it for now, however with God, it's in his timing. I want to tell you a lie of the devil that has captured a lot of Christians. And I know we've all said it at one stage of the game, and I'm trying to help you this morning. God's never early, but he's just never late. That means God's a little bit confused. No, he's not. God's timing is perfect. He's not early. He's never late. He's not just on time. It takes place in his time. That's a lesson we have to learn because how many... Okay, don't put your hands up. But I know you said it. God's not early, but he's never late. Don't worry, my brother. You just keep praying. No, God's got it. He knows what's going on. It's like he's confused. No, God's not confused. Time's in his hand, the beginning and the end. Abraham had to wait 14 years for a promise. But because Abraham was ahead of his time and he wanted the click, click, click thing, he just couldn't wait 14 years. So what did he do? He got himself an Ishmael because he couldn't wait. Joseph was way ahead of his time. He was dreaming and prophesying and, whoa, let me just tell you about you guys. And his older brothers all got like, no, we just like, you're a brat. You're the mommy and daddy's favorite. Look at the beautiful coat they gave me. So yeah, no, we're going to do something with you because your arrogance and your sheer look at me, we're not happy with. So what did they do? Well, we know the story. And then what happened? So he gets there, and then Mrs. Potiphar goes crazy and chases him around the kitchen. And then he's good on Joseph. He's running. Yeah! Just a hot tip for any guys. That's what you should be doing. But he ended up in jail for it. And then he had more dreams, and then he told it. Let me tell you what the dreams are. And how did that work out for him? Now he had to stick around in jail for more years because when he helped the baker get out, he was like, no, I'm not telling you about that guy. He became second in command in God's timing. Genesis 45:5. And now do not be distressed when he's talking to his brothers. And do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. How many of you would be like, no, my brothers, I'm going to sort you out now. Do you know how I had to suffer in Egypt? You know, I got beaten. I got chased around by this ugly chick. Come on, work with me. Well, we don't know, but I'm just saying. And then I ended up in jail, and I got beaten. I got left there. And I prophesied for God in jail, and I still got left there. Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. for such a time as this. A kairos moment when there was famine in the land and Joseph became the deliverer for all the nations. God is greater than my timing. God is greater than my expectations. How many expectations have you got? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so be it. Isn't that great? We are God's children are too afraid often to ask big asks of God. Well, I don't know if he'll do that for me. I'm not sure if he thinks that way. I'm not sure. In South Africa, our first life group, home cell, whatever you want to call it, that we led, people needed to buy and sell houses. They were moving and needed to buy and sell houses. So we became the Sell House Church Group. S-E-L-L. Because we'd pray for it, and the house would get sold. And then people started coming to the life. We said, no, stay at your life group, but we'll pray for you. And houses were sold like this. And we went, we don't understand this, God, but we're asking big asks of you. I don't know what kind of big ask you need. I need a new car. Not just because I've already got a nice car, but this car, we would call it a skodonk. Means it doesn't start, it doesn't go. Everything is flat, it's just not working. It looks like it's been through a war zone, it's got so many rust holes in it. That's a skadonk. New word for you. And pray, Lord, God, you know I need a new car. We had a guy in our church who was praying that way. Guy came into the church, wealthy businessman. He said, I just feel so weird. He says, why? I said, I felt the Lord told me I have to give that couple a car. What do I do? I said, did God tell you? Why are you asking me? I said, give them a car. So they gave him a car. Gave them a car. Who needs a house? Who needs a job? Come on. Big asks of God. Who needs $1 million? No, I'm joking. I'm not joking. That's greed. That's not need. We can miss it if we allow our presumptions to overtake us, not our expectations. Our expectation should never be preceded by our presumption, if I could put it that way, if you understand that. For it is God who works in you to fill and to act according to his good purpose. Do you think Joseph was overly excited when his prayers weren't working out? Do you think when he was in the pit, waiting to be carted off into slavery, that he wasn't praying? Do you think when he got there, I don't want to major on the minors, and Mrs. Potiphar was chasing him, he wasn't praying? Do you think when he got to prison, he wasn't praying? That this is not working out. And I think some of you, your frustrations are being built on because you think your prayers are not working out. Sometimes God's answer to prayer is no. Well, that's bad theology, Mark. No. He's a good and loving Father, and sometimes he will say no. Sometimes he will say yes. And then it happens. And sometimes he will say, not right now. Oh, we like the second one, Mark. We just didn't like any of the others. Why? Because, come on, God. Click, 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 click. Make it work, God. Click, click, click. His timing is perfect. Your faith is being stretched by your prayers of expectation. That's good. That builds faith. That takes you out of the ordinary into the supernatural. That takes you out of, I just prayed and it just happened, and God's at my beck and call. Very dangerous. God's not at your beck and call. And angels aren't either, just by the way. Only God commands the angels. Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the point is, God doesn't always respond the way we think He should respond in a human way, because He is greater. He is above us. He is beyond our comprehension. He's greater than our theology. He's greater than our timing. He's greater than our expectations. And He is greater than our circumstances. Our circumstances, we find ourselves, play a really huge part in the next decision we make. The next time we get together, our attitudes, our feelings, our emotions, all hold up in our circumstances and our expectations. There's a myriad of reasons we find ourselves in a circumstance or two. And the number one reason, says he with love in his heart, is because of bad choices we make. See, not you, we. Bad choices we make. When we make bad choices, we live, there's still a circumstance, there's still a consequence. You can't rob a bank and think you just, oh, that's it, I just robbed the bank. Well, Lord, forgive me for robbing the bank. Yeah, you are forgiven, but there's a consequence coming, buddy. It's called theft, and you might need to go to jail. Bad choices, broken relationships, irreversible mistakes, a failing or collapsed business venture, debt that appears insurmountable, situations that appear to be way out of control. Here's just some, and as I'm preaching, you can think of your circumstances that you're going, yeah, Mark, you know, have no idea what you're talking about. Do you want to live in my shoes? Do you want to be in my circumstance? No. Do you want to live in mine? But that's not the point. The point is, God is bigger than our theology. God is greater than our He's greater than our timing. He's greater than our expectation. And He's greater than our circumstances. We sang it beautifully this morning. In that last song that we sang. That's what came out of there. Could you imagine having some impossible circumstances? Like being, picture this with me, thousands of years, and you're one of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And you're all partying and you're on your way, and then you realize Pharaoh changed his mind. And you can just see this big cloud dust in the distance as the chariots are racing towards you. And you're standing on the edge of the Red Sea. Big ask of God. Big ask of God. Supernatural, divine favor. Psh! This morning, supernatural. Where's Amy? Divine favor. I love the testimony. I think I might have told you not to take away from hers, but just to make you see that God works. I broke my ankle on a mission trip. And I was in the car with my ankle strapped up in the middle of the bush, no doctors, no hospital. And the Lord said to me, if you praise me, I'll heal you. I'm going, if? What do you mean? I'm in pain. So in the back of the car, I started to praise God. Felt my ankle shift, and by the time I got back to the camp, my ankle was healed. God, big asks. He's in the business. Gideon taking on an army who you couldn't, the number you couldn't count with 300 men. Gideon, you've lost the plot. We're going home. This is ridiculous. Started off with what? 3,000, I think. Down to 300. Okay, now we can go and fight. Why? Because the Lord wanted to prove Himself to them that is this of God, not of man. Big asks, Lazarus in the tomb. Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary, two different attitudes, same question. Do you think they were actually making something happen? Do you think they were like looking for something to take place? Jesus came along and said, don't worry about it. How about the widow of Zarephath? Fed her son, the last bit of meal that they had, or anointed him with oil, they drank their last drink, and then they laid down to starve to death. Big ask of God. God came and set it all in place. Isn't that amazing? We've got to learn from these things. We've got to go, God is a big God. God is greater. These are circumstances were totally impossible, but God intervened. Now just for time's sake, I've got like a minute left. We can't go and read the story, but you should know it. The story of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. Go and read the whole thing. But you know, this young man had a theology. He had his theology. His theology said, what good deed must I do? This is the rich guy. What good deed must I do to inherit eternal life or to have eternal life? And then Jesus tells him, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? He says, yes, I've done all that. I've kept all that, Lord. I've kept all the laws. I've done the theology that I know. Nope. He also had a timing plan. Which ones, God? Just tell me now which ones are the, I'm busy. I've got things to do. Place to go. People to see. Mountains to climb. Banks to bank. Money to bank. You know the whole deal? He had a timing plan. Which one? He wanted it now. Tell me now. What do I do now? What is it now? I need it now. He would have fitted well into our 21st century mindset. I want it all. I want it now. Okay, I'm not going to sing it. Some of you haven't a clue what I'm saying, but there we go. Sorry? Queen. I want it. Oh, okay, we're in church now. I'm not allowed to do that. Okay. He had an expectation of God. Rich young ruler had an expectation. What do I still lack? Come on, tell me, God, what do I still lack? Teacher, tell me what good thing I must do to get this eternal life. I've got an expectation here. What's the formula? I just need to know. Tell me. We have many formulas out there. You go to any bookstore, Christian bookstore, and you find the formula. 5 ways to a better marriage. 3 ways to be a better husband. 15 ways to be a better wife. 2 ways to be a better son. Some of you got that. Some of you were like, what did he just say? What's the formula, Lord? And the last thing this rich young ruler had, he had a circumstance. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Go and sell all that you have and come follow me and be my disciple. He knew that he still didn't have it all. He still came. Jesus focused on the very thing that kept this young rich ruler from having a high view of God. He focused on that thing. Go and sell all you have. Go and sell all your possessions. And I can just see it. If you just work in my mind in my comedic way from time to time, I think this rich young ruler went, what? And then steadied himself and was like, no, and he went away. And you know what? You never hear of the rich young ruler again. Went away sorrowful. Jesus didn't go, okay, I was joking, come with me. And no, Jesus carried on. Well, that's a little bit harsh. No, it's got to come out of his heart to respond to the king. He was reluctant to trust and obey. He was reluctant to go down the obedience route. He wanted his full confidence in himself. His set and confidence set on his abilities, what he got, not on God's. He got, well, I've got this theology, I've got these expectations, I've got this timing, and I've got these circumstances. He didn't get, God is out of time and space. God is greater than all those things that we could think or imagine. When our theology and our timing, our expectation, our circumstances are subjected to other preferences, we have or we are fixed and focused on a lower God rather than a higher God view. Romans 8:28 in closing says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. We need to see in God that all these real things, because they're all reality for us, our theology and our timing and our expectation and our circumstances, they're all real. I don't detract from anything, especially circumstances. We allow God to change our mindsets. Allow him to reveal himself more, that we have a higher view of him. That we are not so stuck on our own theology. That we are not so stuck on, well, I need it now. We're not so stuck on, well, I've just got low expectations. No, we have great expectations, higher expectations. Let's not be afraid to bring our needs to God. Nothing is too big for Him. Nothing. Nothing. And let's not give up hope when God surprises us, because He knows and know that He seeks for your very, very best, because He loves you. And He wants to bless you and to show you His kindness and His favor. And sometimes we want stuff and we think it's good for us. But because God sees outside time and space, He goes, that is not good for you. The last story that I'm going to tell you today is when I was in business before, and the Lord spoke to me and told me I was going into full-time ministry. And just before I was leaving the business world to go into full-time ministry. Well, we're all in full-time ministry, but you know what I'm saying. Going to be full-time in the church. A guy called me up and said to me, I heard you resigned from your company. Would you please have lunch with me? So I said, "For what for?" He says, I want you to come work for me. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm leaving. I'm going to into the... He says, no, come with me. I'm going to bring a blank check. I'm going to give you the blank check and you can fill in the number. That would be a cool deal. Anyone ever had the opportunity to write your own salary check? This is what I want to earn. And I knew it was what I call a red herring. Because I would have sold my soul to the devil for a few dollars more. And so the enemy knows, and he will come, and he will promise you and talk nonsense in your head, because that's all it is, it's nonsense. And sometimes we succumb to that, and we've got to learn to have a high view of God and know that He is a good God, that He is faithful to His word and His promises to us, that He will guard and guide us and lead us, and that He is greater than anything we could imagine or think about. Father, we come to You today, Lord God, and we bless You. We thank You, Lord, that You are a good Father. Thank You, Lord God, that You are greater or bigger than anything we could imagine. At times, Lord, it might be that the mountain appears so big in front of us, that, Father, we just have big asks. Help us to leap those mountains, burrow through them, or go around them. And God, we just come again and we just stand before You afresh. And we say, thank You, God. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your goodness, Your faithfulness, Your guardianship, and that in all these You are still greater. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.